Hello and welcome to Movies, Murder and Mayhem.
The true crime, the true. Wait, no, I fucked that up. Damn it!
Infectious. I'm sorry.
Well, the true crime, the true stories, and the true horror behind some of your favorite horror films and some of your not so favorite horror films. I am Egrain.
I'm Ruby.
And I was the one that fucked up the intro this time.
I know, we're taking it in turns.
We are,
That's
we are.
nice. Equality.
How are you, Ruby?
I am doing well, thank you, Egrain. How are you?
All right, mouth on fire. I just had some Tom Yum noodles and it's yeah, fire
I
mess.
got a cup of coffee. The sun is shining, so things could be worse. I'm paying tribute to Barry Humphries, the great Dame Edna Everage.
RIP.
R.I.P. Indeed. Like, yeah, another great drag queen gone from the world who didn't, let me check my notes, groom a bunch of children and turn them into trans people.
Because
Nope.
they don't do that.
No.
That's
It's
not a
shocking,
thing.
isn't
Oh my lord. But yeah, these are the same people that would go to a pantomime and be like, that was a great pantomime.
I know. Oh.
But yeah.
Sure,
Sure,
anyway.
look, listen.
What are we going to do about it? We don't live. Look, knock on wood. We currently live in a pretty decent country. I say decent, not per far from perfect, but okay for these sorts of things. So, all we can do is support our friends overseas.
Yes, that's it exactly. So this month we have finally bit the bullet,
Yeah.
finally, and have decided to do a joint story about the Warrens.
Ed and Lorraine.
Eld Ed and Eld
Mommy,
Lorraine.
mommy and daddy supernatural.
So what is your take on the Warrens? How were you first introduced to them?
How was I first introduced to them? I think it was a funny thing. It's like I wasn't didn't don't feel like I was, excuse me, truly aware of them. In a sense, until I think probably The Conjuring, and I was like,
Yeah,
and everyone was
same.
like, oh my God, they're real people. That being said, once I started looking into what they did, I was like, oh, I know about that case. I know about that case. So sometimes in some situations, their presence was, I don't want to say erased, but certainly maybe not mentioned. Though I do think that perhaps the Warrens did inflate their importance in some of these cases. When they showed up and were like, yes, we think there's a demon here. And that's what actually happened. And then they're like, we were there and shit ha stuff was flying. We did an exorcism.
Yes, I was much the same. I only knew about them from The Conjuring. And then obviously going back and being like, oh, they had something to do with the Amityville and Haunting in Connecticut and kind of joining the dots with all the horror films that were kind of associated with them. But I do think it's an interesting story.
I think they're really fascinating figures. In and ne now that we live in a horror scene that is so influenced by them, where they're huge figures. I think it's interesting to kind of look back and kind of examine what they did. And it's
Yeah.
and, you know, I suppose it's going to be interesting as well to a point because we've actually talked about a lot of the stuff already
Yeah,
in
that's true.
one context or another.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into this then. So Ed and Lorraine Warren were the husband and wife paranormal investigation duo from America who are the real people behind James Wan's The Conjuring series of horror films. Ed claimed to be a self-taught demonologist who I kind of want to know how you become a self-taught demonologist and you like one day, oh, I know. I know what I'm going to specialize in.
I watched this documentary, 17 Seasons of Supernatural. That's how you become a self-taught demonologist, isn't it?
Trash TV.
Just pass it down through your family.
Yeah. Whilst Lorraine was a clairvoyant and a light trance medium. So Lorraine Rita Moran was born in Connecticut on January 31st, 1927, and apparently began to experience clairvoyance as a young child. Ed Warren was born in Connecticut as well on September the 7th, 1926, and was a World War II Navy veteran and police officer before becoming a demonologist. They met in 1944, where Ed worked at a local theatre which Lorraine regularly attended. And during leave from the Navy in 1945, after his ship had sunk, Ed married Lorraine. In 1951, they gave birth to their daughter Judy, and the following year, they began their work to become supernatural investigators. The couple would travel New England in an attempt to sell Ed's paintings, and along their travels, they would stop at haunted locations. They were absolutely paranormal freaks, just like us. You know where it'd be great to go? That house that's meant to be haunted by a mass murderer. Honeymoon. And it was said that these haunted places would then go on to inspire more of Ed's art. Like, I think that if they weren't so Catholic, they would have been absolute goths.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If they weren't so Catholic, they would have been Goths. They would have started the Satanic Panic decades earlier.
They absolutely would have. In 1952, they would go on to found the New England Society for the New England Society for Psychic Research, aka
Or a
NE
Nesper.
Nesferer, which would eventually
Rolls
become,
off the tongue.
it really does. So that would eventually become one of the oldest ghost hunting organizations in America, which surprised me. I thought they'd be like, maybe they're secret societies.
Yeah. I wonder if a lot of them just kind of came and went, and this is just the one that
Oh,
stuck
yeah,
around the
maybe.
longest. Because there was definitely stuff like, in the 18 late 1800s, early 1900s, when the spiritualist movement was
Yeah.
huge, there must have Houdini must have set something up, like.
Yeah, that's why it's like maybe it's like secret societies, whereas these were obviously all about the
Or
press. Yeah.
maybe actually I'm thinking more of like there's loads of skeptics societies that are like that would offer rewards for evidence of the supernatural as opposed to ghost hunting, where
Yeah.
it's like people are like, we believe, true
Yeah.
believers.
Yeah. So Ed would go around to rumored haunted houses. This makes him sound so fucking dodge. He would go around to haunted houses, sketch a picture of the house, and then would like knock on the door to the owners and
Point
be
of
like,
order.
then he'd be
Point of
like,
order. He was super fucking dodge.
door and say to the homeowners, here's a sketch of your house. Now, can I come in? Because your house is haunted. Like, that's how home invasion horror films start. Don't let people in that have sketched your
Seriously.
house.
I was like, how could they possibly have gotten a picture of my house from standing outside? It's a supernatural mystery, lads.
So they would
Can't believe these
also
people.
they would also write a lot of books about the paranormal and their investigations into supernatural activity. And they claim to have investigated over 10,000 cases and would work with medical doctors, researchers, police officers, nurses, college students, and members of the church. Now, 10,000 cases. I don't think so. I think that's inflated.
I think it's inflated also because so I you obviously are doing their life, and then I did was doing notable investigations, and I'm going to be honest with you, I think the same seven ones are mentioned almost consistently, and
Yeah.
I think I found four or five other ones that came up that had, but other than that, there's not like a big X on list somewhere. I'm sure there is probably somewhere that someone would be like, this is
Yeah.
all the ones that they did, but as far as like actual details,
Yeah.
I've found maybe 15.
Yeah, I just think that if you were doing 10,000, there was 10,000 cases of like supernatural, demonic activity. I just think there would be more of a like a okay, maybe this shit is real.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we can get into that later because I do have one of those cases. I think there is a big old question around that there. But yeah, I'd say 10,000 is hugely inflated. Or if there is anything close to that number, about 80% of them consists of people calling them and being like, a book fell off a shelf, and then being like, yep, definitely a haunting.
So I'm gonna like,
Congratulations.
I'm getting out my calculator here and just being like an absolute nerd about it. So they were basically, they did it for about 50 years, let's say. So 10,000 divided by 50. So they would have to be doing 200 cases a year, basically.
So 200 cases a year. So, and divide 200 by 52. How many does that be a week? It's like
Four-ish.
4 cases a week.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Four.
I've got dyscalculia, so I know that seems like a very simple bit of math, but I'm just bad at it.
Yeah, about 4 a week, yeah.
Yeah. So like 4 a week. So some of them must have been very benign. Either that or they were like speed exorcisms. Because like you hear about people who underwent real exorcisms within the Catholic Church, you know, like some of those horrible, horrible cases where people went under torture for like weeks.
Yeah.
It's like this was never like an in and out job. Exorcisms
Yeah.
were a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
Like they took time. And they're claiming to come in, get her done and get out of there to
Yeah. The math doesn't add up.
the math does not add up.
And this is from someone who's really bad at maths. Like, it just does not add
Yeah. Samesies. I was like, I know my number reading is bad, but that does not make sense to me. That seems off.
surely if you're
Yeah.
doing like
Are
supernatural
they claiming?
investigation.
Yeah. Sorry. Are they claiming that they did the 10,000 very specifically themselves, or that Nesper did 10,000? I'm gonna call it that.
See, I think Nesper was basically just those two. They're such nerds. We're called Nesper. I think it's them. They claim to have investigated over 10,000 cases.
So that's 4 a week. And then assuming they're not working weekends, one day for actual research of all
Yeah.
of these cases.
And then
And
they
that
were
was
also.
before the internet.
Yeah. Bullshit.
Couldn't even Google in the car.
Absolute bullshitter.
Absolute fucking nonsense. Look, I think like when we talk about the cases, there is plenty of evidence that they were inflating this to a, they're inflating everything to a significant degree. So
Yeah. Due to their extreme Catholic faith, they believed that demonic possessions happened to people who lacked faith. Which I've always wondered about, like, so if a demon, let's go, I'm not Christian, but let's go into like a Christian kind of thing. If a demon wanted to piss off God, in quotation marks, why would they possess someone who lacked faith? Surely they'd want to get someone who was all about God to then put their middle finger up to God. Like, I'm trying to work out the logistics of it all here.
Yeah, the logic behind it. I mean, I agree. That being said, I don't think that the Catholic faith or any Christian kind of logic tends to fall. It tends to,
Logically.
yeah. Well, I think it follows a more, I think when you look at these things, they follow a more emotional logic than they do a rationale, if that makes sense. Like
Yeah.
emotionally for these people, it makes sense that people lacking of faith are easy targets for these demons to get into. You know, their defenses are already down. They're not praying enough or whatever. And so that's the kind of the emotional rationale for them to be like, well, it makes sense that this person has a demon in them. I would never have a demon in me because I believe I have faith and my faith protects me. I think that's kind of where that is coming from. But oh, it's all fucking nonsense to me.
As well as investigations, the Warrens also ran the Warrens Occult Museum in the back of their house in Connecticut, which displayed apparently haunted objects and artifacts, many of which were from their most famous investigations, which I'm sure you're going to mention. It's now closed, which I'm actually really disappointed
Fucking
about.
devastated. Yeah, it closed after Lorraine died because there was a dispute over the will and the ownership. I know it's currently owned by their daughter and some other guy. I'm not sure what his relationship is, whether he's with her or not. But I think there was a dispute over ownership, and that's why it closed initially, and they just haven't opened it back up again. And I'm honestly devo.
So you're saying Annabelle's in there, like just just waiting.
She's in there. She's in her big box saying "Do not touch," which I think is very funny. What does
So
it says something? It's really dramatic. That box that she's in. Hang on. I mean, she doesn't look scary.
she's a
She's just a
raggedy
regular old doll.
yeah, Raggedy
But
Ann doll. She's not like the movie one.
it says warning, positively do not touch dangerous objects.
Sounds like a warning I should come with.
Yeah.
Positively do not touch.
And she's got a, yeah, positively do not touch this woman. And there's a cross on the top of the box as well. Very dramatic.
So the Warrens were definitely not without their detractors, with accusations of being tellers of ghost stories and at worst frauds, who prey on vulnerable people. When questioned by scientific investigators, Lorraine said their problem was they don't base anything on God. Because why would you? See, this
Yeah,
is.
basically, like the works of God and demons defy scientific logic.
Yeah. See, I think this is my problem. Like, so obviously, as I said, I came to the Warrens from The Conjuring. And in The Conjuring films, they're so beloved. And in, because obviously it's Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, and they're, you know, gorgeous, a gorgeous couple, and they're so nice. And yes, they're Christian, but it's not like in your face. And then when you kind of have this picture of them in your head. And then when you go back and you read about the Warrens, you're like, oh, they were crazy Catholics.
They were, yeah. And Ed was a bit of a dick, I think.
Yeah.
And did not look like Patrick Wilson. He
He
was not
did
our
not.
ghost daddy.
He definitely was not. Very disappointing. So before Ed's death in
Yeah,
two.
Lorraine was a bit of a looker, though.
Yeah, that's always the way, isn't it? Although apparently
Yeah.
did he had
Yeah.
like affairs. He was rumored to have like loads of affairs and
There was one in particular, like she there's some girl came, I can't remember what her name was, but she came out and was like, yeah, so I've been sleeping with him for like 40 years and it started when I was underage. Yeah. All only accusations though, so
They're definitely not going to cover that in The Conjuring. So before Ed's death in 2006, the couple would travel the country giving lectures. This is when they decided that they could no longer do 10,000 investigations. And
It's
Lorraine,
strain of 4 cases a week.
and then Lorraine would continue these lectures after her husband's death, as well as become a advisor on the Conjuring series. So that is
Yeah,
their
she's
wee
got a
little
cameo in
background.
the first one as well,
Yeah. She's
I
in the
think.
lecture, isn't she? She's in a lecture hall or something.
Yeah, she's in the lecture hall.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Yeah, cool. So that's their background.
Yeah.
Was there anything when you were kind of looking into it, was there anything that kind of surprised you or?
The lack of like massive backstory, like I really researched about, like, surely they both went through some trauma or, you know, near-death experiences. And it was like, no, they basically, you know, Lorraine was rumored to have clairvoyancy from a young age. And Ed was just like, you know what I want to do? But being a police officer obviously isn't enough for me. So I'm going to be a demonologist.
I know the trauma of being brought up in a strict Catholic household, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, I think I kind of found the same thing. Like for all that they are like really popular in like the current zeitgeist and stuff, like even some of their more popular cases, there's relatively limited information about them. All right, so a few of their most notable cases and investigations. I think most of our listeners will be very, very familiar with almost all of these. Either we've discussed them before or they are the subject of incredibly popular movies.
Yeah.
Let's start with the doll, actually. Let's start with
Okay.
Annabelle, who ended up in her very dramatic box in the museum. So Annabelle came to she was given to a nurse in 71. So she's just like an L rag doll. She's not particularly scary looking.
No.
She was quite sweet. But for some reason, someone gave a fully adult woman a doll. And the so the nurse and a student nurse and her housemates were like, this doll is weird. Stuff is moving. You know, this malicious and frightening. So it's quoted as exhibiting malicious and frightening behavior. I could find no other detail on what that behavior was.
Like a Raggedy Ann doll is like a floppy cloth doll. Like,
It, yeah, exactly what it is. Like
how is
she's
it
made of
doing
felt.
things?
I
Yes.
know, but like, so apparently stuff would go missing, stuff would move around the house. I think these roommates just didn't talk to each other. But anyway, somehow the Warrens heard about this. And they showed up and were like, that thing's got a demon in it. We'll take it with. Well, actually, it went so this, and this is a common thing with the Warrens.
Right.
So it started out that the so a medium apparently told the student nurse and her housemates that the doll was possessed by a child that had died in their building. And so they tried to like be nice to the ghost, but it freaked them out. So then the Warrens came along and they were like, no, demons. Very rarely ghosts, always demons. Like the Warrens had a thing. They were like, no, this isn't dead people. That's crazy. This is a demon from hell. And they were like, that shit's got a demon in it. Give it to us. And so they took it off and then they put it in the glass box and displayed it. And we're like, look at our demon doll.
But why would a demon possess a doll? Like,
That's
that
a very
makes
good question.
no sense. Like, surely a demon's in, obviously, non-believer here, famous last words, gets possessed. Surely a demon's kind of number one job is to inflict as much chaos, destruction, death, terrible stuff on earth. So why would it possess, like, the weakest? It wouldn't even possess like a sturdy wooden doll. Like, I know they changed it for the films, but surely it would possess like better things rather than like this really like floppy thing.
I know, very, very strange. I don't know why they were like, that shit's got a demon in it. And they were just like, but we'll take it off your hands. Don't worry about it. It's like, because if that demon was there for a reason, do you think it would jump into like a fucking lamp or something
Or a
instead
person.
of just being taken away to a base or a person? Just be taken away by a basement. To a basement. By a basement, you know what I mean? Oh, dear. Anyway. So that was Annabelle. So it's like it, when you actually dig into them, this is what I found is a lot of them are very anticlimactic. So another incredibly famous one is the story of the Perron family, who are the subject of The Conjuring. So they moved into their house in Rhode Island, and apparently a witch had lived there in the 19th century. Again, like some of this research is questionable. There are like the farmhouse was like it was occupied in the 19th century. People did live there. There's no evidence of anyone being killed, of a woman killing her child and then herself. Certainly no witches and all that kind of stuff, or at least no evidence of such. There was a person called Bathsheba who did live in the area. There's a gravestone of that person, but beyond that, nothing really. The Perron family experienced primarily what they experienced was noises and bad smells, apparently, was the big thing in there. They didn't have the same level of, I think, physical phenomena that some of the others would have claimed to, and certainly not what was portrayed in the movie. No snapping fingers that I'm aware of.
No witches on top of the wardrobes.
No witches on top of the wardrobes. And yeah, and so the Warrens went in. They were like, yep,
Demon.
demons. Demon witch. No, I think in this case they actually were very much on the like this is the ghost of the witch, because I think a witch and a demon are very much closely related, at least in their minds. That is an agent of the devil or of hell or Satan, whatever you want to ascribe to that. So, but again, I think I mean, the Perrons left. I don't think, like, they didn't, it's not like they got rid of anything in the house. The Perrons were like, fuck it, we're leaving. We don't like this. And regardless of whether you believe in ghosts or not, they weren't happy in their house. So they just fucked off. I
You're
think
like, here we go.
the story is that Ed did try and perform an exorcism, but he was forced out of the house. But,
By the Perron family or by like a demon?
by the demon. But then actually the husband after a while, this is actually, sorry, this is interesting, is that so the Warrens were there, they were doing their thing, and then eventually the husband was like, no, get out. Daddy Perron was like, you guys are fucking nonsense. I don't think he actually said they were nonsense, but he eventually was like, this, what you're doing isn't doing anything, you're upsetting people more, and they were probably, let's face it, charging them a fucking fortune.
Yeah. Because the movie makes them seem so like, we're gonna do this out of the goodness of our heart, and you're like, yeah,
Yeah.
that's not how it went.
That's something that I couldn't really find anything specific on is whether they charged for their services. I know they wrote a lot of books, they got in on a lot of the publicity around various different cases and made money that way. I can only assume they charged for their services.
I bet
But
they
I
did.
actually don't know for sure. I would say they did. I'd be very surprised
Yeah.
if they didn't.
Yeah, this it
Being
just
court
it
cases
re
can be.
for like right, you wouldn't be doing 10,000 cases like in 50 years for
For
nothing.
free?
Yeah.
Yeah,
This
exactly.
it this what makes me feel like I guess we'll get onto this, but this makes me feel like because there's so little information about them, this makes me feel like they're even more dodgy than they are. Like, you're like, why isn't there a lot of background? Why isn't there information on what they actually did? It just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Red flags.
Red flags all over the shop.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on, I think obviously one of the most famous cases is the Amityville House, the Amityville Horror, which was a house in Amityville in which Ronald DeFeo Jr. killed six of his family members. He is still alive several years later. The Lutz family moved in and they claimed to hear they heard voices knocking, there was poltergeist activity, all sorts of stuff. The Warrens came along. So they claim, or sorry, so Ed claimed that while he was performing an exorcism or possibly some sort of sensing thing, he heard a male voice in one of the bedrooms telling him to get out. Oh no, sorry, I'm lying. That wasn't Ed. That was a priest. So there was a different priest that got involved before the Warrens came along. But anyway, again, the Warrens didn't do much, but as far as I can tell, again, they were like, demons. But so obviously the Lutzes, again, they left fairly quickly. They left the house. And then Jay Anson wrote the book, The Amityville Horror. And he did that with the Warrens. Or no, was that something else? Oh my God, I'm a terrible person. My research is not great, apparently, today. My research brain is not in gear. But it was later said that Jay Anson, or sorry, a lawyer that worked with Anson and the Lutzes basically said that the whole thing was a story that they invented. It was just a big hoax, which I think is quite commonly known at this point, that there was no real phenomena happening there. But yeah, just they just made it up when they got drunk one night.
As
That
you do.
the lawyer specifically said that he, Anson, and the occupants invented the horror story over many bottles of wine, which sounds like something I would do.
That's true. But would you take it that far?
Would I take it that far to the point of getting in priests and the Warrens and writing books? I mean, it depends on how much money you would have got me, because it
That's
got
very
them a
true.
fuck ton.
That's very true. And it kind of proved that the Warrens might be a, because of course the Warrens, like you said, the Warrens came in were like demons.
Yeah,
And
it's
it kind
interesting,
of
like the Warrens version of events, and then the version of events that in of the Amityville Horror are slightly different, because in The Conjuring 2, it is like that's based on their version of events. Now, obviously, it is still film, and like I'm sure they took plenty of entertaining liberties. But they did have their own like completely separate accounts, and they were like, no, this is what we experienced. It was absolutely true. But the priest who kind of was told, like said, he was told to like get out and stuff like that by, he was kind of reporting these like very intimidating male voices. But Ronald DeFeo Jr. is still alive. You know, like it's just, you know, so it's like, so you're just like these, obviously just these very, the ghosts of these angry family members don't want you here. Maybe, I don't know. It doesn't, you know, the malevolent spirit, I feel like, would be the person, the perpetrator of the murders.
Yeah, who was in jail at the time, so
Yeah, who was in jail and alive.
yeah.
Both in jail and alive, which kind of precludes ghosts. And again, I just feel like as well, like just these people, everyone involved, the Lutzes, Anson, the Warrens, all took advantage of a very real tragedy. And it was all within 3 years, I think, of the the actual murders. So it was not like these were murders that happened decades prior. Like it was a fairly fresh trauma for the area. So I think to like just like bring it all up again was a pretty nasty thing to do if that is in fact the case. And I suspect it was.
The Warrens were kind of accused a lot of taking advantage of vulnerable situations, I guess, which could be seen in the Haunting in Connecticut.
Yes, the Snedeker House.
And that, have you got that one? Or
I have
is
that
that
one on
on
my
your, yeah.
list, just kind of briefly. Obviously, you covered it in quite a lot of detail previously. So go back to whatever episode that was. It's a
Who
while
knows?
back. But yeah, they very much took advantage of that situation.
And the fact that this boy was like suffering from, cancer treatments and possibly schizophrenic, and they came in and did their whole demons.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's a quote saying it's like the family involved in the Snedeker House. There's a family involved who's going through some serious problems, including alcoholism, drug addiction, and the serious medical issues of one of their children, and they couldn't keep their story straight. Let alone, like, once you bring the Warrens in on top of that. So yeah, the Warrens absolutely, I think, went in and said, "Let's get you some money and us too," by taking advantage of your incredibly ill son.
One of the things I find quite interesting about later on with the adaptations is the second Conjuring is set against the Enfield Poltergeist, but the Warrens really had nothing to
Yes.
do with that.
Not really, no. I mean, they did go over to the UK. But yeah, so yeah, the critics of that of the films that the Warrens were involved to a far lesser degree than portrayed in the movie, had in fact shown up to the scene uninvited. So basically, they heard about it and were like, "We better get ourselves over," and they were refused entry to the home, at least initially. I'm sure I think they managed to wheedle their way in at
Perhaps he
some
drew
point.
a drew a sketch of the house and that
Yeah, he drew a picture of the house and was like, "See," But yeah, the hugely inflated their participation in that particular investigation, for sure. To the yeah, I mean, especially to the degree that they just randomly showed up and people were like, "No, fuck off. Who are you guys?" Yeah, apparently nobody in the family had ever heard of the Warrens until they turned up on the doorstep. So it's not even like they were in the conversation.
They were just like, who the fuck are
Which and
these?
the Enfield Poltergeist is an interesting one, by itself. I think when it comes to like it's like was it, look, I mean obviously lying children who were looking for attention, but again the Warrens were convinced that it was a case of demonic possession.
Mad into their demons.
Seriously, and I'm pretty sure. Again, I'm so sorry. My brain is just brain today. But didn't one of the children actually fess up? Well, sorry. I think there's still conflicting stories, but one of the children kind of said, "No, we definitely faked it," and then some of the others are still kind of in it, win it.
There was that thing where it's like, oh no, we definitely like fabricated those photographs and, completely made the whole thing up. But then there was that whole thing was like, are they saying that to take away attention from the poltergeist or?
There's kind of because some of the kids kind of have come out and said that, and then others have stayed more stayed silent on it. They haven't kind of said one way or the other. But like when you listen to it, and they were like, "Oh yeah, of course." Like we were trying to freak out our ma. We were knocking on the pipes. We had a thing that we could do. We knew we could do it, so we just fucking were having the crack, like basically. And then it went too far, which is a really common thing with kids and poltergeists.
Pesky kids.
Those pesky kids.
So one of their most famous case, possibly apart from the Amityville, was obviously the Devil Made Me Do It case.
Yeah, Aaron Johnson. So in 81, Aaron Cheyenne Johnson killed his landlord, Alan Bono. And he, so prior to this murder, Aaron's, sorry, I'm trying to get this right. So his younger brother's fiance had an exorcism done on her. No, the younger brother of his fiance. There we
Right,
go.
yeah,
See?
okay.
The younger brother of his fiance had had an exorcism,
Yeah.
in which at which the Warrens were present
Right.
and performed it. And so their theory was that the demon had jumped from his fiance's younger brother into him.
Right.
And then the demon made him kill his landlord.
Right.
I suspect it may have been something else. But I suppose obviously like the most famous aspect of this case is not necessarily the fact that the Warrens were involved. It's the fact that it was one of the I think the first case, and God, I really hope one of the only few, where the defense was innocent by reason of demonic possession. Obviously, the courts told him to fuck off. No, you killed someone. You can't blame it on a demon. But the Warrens, you know, were I think they were called as experts in the case. Experts. They maintained that they believed that he had been possessed by a demon when he committed that murder, and he, as a human person, was innocent. I think it's interesting that the lawyers went with that when they could have easily have gone with you know, innocent or like, you know, not guilty by reason of insanity, and used the fact that he believed he was possessed by a demon as evidence of that. And also I think that they are, if this man is was genuinely mentally unwell, I think that the Warrens contributed in the fact that he ended up in prison and did not get the care that he needed, because they forwarded that theory.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, the film of it, like I really like the first two Conjurings, and the third one goes like full mad Catholic, and that really put me off. I was just like, I guess this is literally how they
Yeah.
were, like mad Catholics.
They were mad Catholics, let's face it. Yeah, no, and they did. They like they really they found they like, you know, I think as is demonstrated with the Enfields, Poltergeist, like they went where they thought they were gonna get attention, where they were gonna get press, where they were gonna make money. You know, it wasn't a case of they just went where they were needed. You know, I was the way it's kind of portrayed in the films, which is like, look, I in my head, I'm just fully like them, the Warrens of the Conjuring series, they're different, they are characters, they are fictional. These people are very, very different.
Do you think they actually believed in all this demonic possession, or do you think they were literally just fraudsters?
Honestly, I don't know. I think maybe it started out that way, possibly, but there's too much evidence, I think, that they were operating on a very cynical level to say that they were true believers. They're one of the cases, and it's again, it's a very wishy-washy case. But Ed, in particular, investigated Union Cemetery, which is a cemetery in Connecticut. Old cemetery dates back to the 17th century. You know, cemeteries, they're everywhere, and they happen to be full of dead bodies. It's supposed to be a haunted cemetery. There is a white lady ghost, you know, of the many hundreds of white lady ghosts that exist around the world, that haunts it. And Ed claims to have captured her on film. That film was locked away, never to be seen by anyone except for the Warrens. And they were like, oh, we have it then.
Course.
We got it. Proof. On
Yeah.
film, like, you know, like that's stupid. It's just fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I have proof of this thing, like this concept of life after death, of supernatural, of a whole world beyond our range of senses, is something that's been debated and thought about for centuries. Since we could think about these things, we've been like, maybe. Maybe ghosts, maybe no. And you're saying you have definitive proof that that ghosts are real, but you're not going to show anyone just because.
Like proof that they're not like fucking snake oil salespeople, like, like
Yeah.
not just say if you wanted to prove to the world, but just about like an afterlife, but prove to the world that you're not a bunch of crazies. Like, you know, would that, would you not want to show that? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, ugh, yeah, I'm just, it really,
Yeah.
yeah, it really bugs me that that's something that they kind of were like, oh, we have evidence though, but you can't see it.
That's about it.
It's drives me mad. Drives me
Yeah.
mad. Anyway, there are a few other cases I think that are of note. There was the Smurl family haunting. Are you familiar with that one?
No.
So this hasn't been the subject of a movie, which is why it's
Okay. That's probably why I haven't
well,
heard of
actually, sorry, that's
it.
a lie. It was in a made-for-TV movie called The Haunted, which is based on a book that they actually wrote themselves about it. And so that was it. This is a pretty intense one, so I'm surprised that it hasn't been turned into a Conjuring movie already, as they claim that the president, the Smurls themselves, actually said that it was a demon. So it was primed for the Warrens to come along. It said that it caused loud noises and bad odors, like the smell of rotting flesh, very similar to the Perron family. It threw their dog into a wall and pushed their daughter down the stairs.
Okay.
So it was quite like intense, and it physically and sexually assaulted family members on several occasions, which is similar to the Snedeker house.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
So yeah, so in 86 the Warrens went in, and according to Ed, he was like, yes, definitely a demon. A very powerful demon. If they tried to persuade it to leave by playing religious music and praying,
I mean, that's enough to drive anyone out. Like, let's not be
I'd
fucking.
leave.
I
Oh
would
fuck
be
no, that's this
gone.
shit. Ed Warren claimed he felt drops in temperature and he saw a dark mass form in the home, and the demon left him a message on a mirror telling him to get out. After months of investigation, Warren alleged that he had a number of audio tapes containing knocking and rapping caused by the demon. I would say, I think that's an interesting phrasing. It's like he claimed that he had a number of audio tapes. Not that he had a number of audio tapes of rapping and knocking that he claimed were caused by the demon, which means that where are these fucking audio tapes? Now, that could look, to be fair, that could just be a bad Wikipedia entry phrasing.
They're probably locked up in the same place as the Union Cemetery footage.
Anyway, they did actually go to the Roman Catholic Church, but a theology professor, Alphonsus Trebold, which is a great name, said there might be other less demonic reasons for explanations for what was going on in the home. It was also blessed by several priests, so the Warrens didn't get rid of this thing. They just kind of showed up and were like, yep, definitely a demon. A priest did stay there later in the 80s and nothing unusual happened. So yeah, but the Smurls did eventually write a book, in conjunction with actually the Warrens and a Scranton newspaper journalist. So the Warrens got money out of it in the end. Presumably they got rights from the book, and then when it was made into a movie as well, into a made-for-TV movie. So I thought that was an interesting one because it shares a lot of similarities with the Snedeker house. So I don't know; it's hard to tell because the Smurl family, that was in the early 80s, and the Snedeker house was also in the early 80s. So these were happening around the same time. So it is kind of, it's interesting to think about. It's like, was one influencing the other, maybe? Because they're all kind of roughly in the same area. They're all kind of East Coast, kind of New England kind of area. It's like, are they influencing each other? Was it something to do with the Satanic Panic kind of vibes in the 80s that was causing people to either make stuff up or potentially have, kind of
False
delusions of
experiences, yeah.
false experiences? Yeah, I don't want to accuse people of like hallucinating randomly, but
I mean, they did use a lot of asbestos in that era.
they did. They absolutely did. And so a few other, there were a few other interesting ones that I came up with, but like, to be honest, those are like the ones that came up again and again and again. I don't know where these other 9,982 cases went, but was a the one that piqued my interest. It was really difficult to find a written source on this, which was really annoying. There was a lot of podcasts which I just didn't have the time to listen to. But the story of the Southend werewolf, you heard about
Okay,
this?
no.
Is a guy called Bill Ramsey, William Ramsey Bill, who, so apparently Lorraine was on a mission to find real life werewolves. She really wanted to find them, and Bill and Ed was like, I don't know about this. Demons, yes. Werewolves, I don't know. That sounds crazy.
Wow.
But they found this guy in the UK in Southend,
Which
who
is a
said
lovely,
that
like, seaside town, by the way. Like,
yeah.
it's not like moors and mountains. It's just like an English seaside town.
So his whole thing is he didn't physically change, but a demon possessed him and made him turn into a werewolf. Yeah, demons again. And so his whole thing was it would give him like fits of rage and inhuman force. So he would get super strong and be really out. He basically hulked out.
So
But
he's
we
basically
have
just
no.
like toxic masculinity, like, he's basically just an arsehole. That's what he's saying. He turns into an
Yeah.
arsehole.
Basically, he became really like, so according to Lorraine, he was possessed by an evil wolf spirit,
But
a
there are
wolf demon.
wolves in England. Like, there is not, I'm sorry,
There
especially in
used to
seaside
be.
towns. Stop it.
Especially,
Stop it.
not in Southend, unless
Especially
it's
not
the
in
Panto.
Southend. Unless it's riding on the pleasure beach. It's just not.
But yeah, so eventually what happened? So yeah, so that's what they claimed. They claimed that he was possessed by this. So he's possessed by this demon. So he didn't change physically. There was no biting involved. He just became a bit of a dick. Yeah. But they took him back to the US to perform an exorcism on him. I don't know why it needed to be a US-based exorcism, but anyway, they took him back to America and they performed an exorcism and it was a success. He was no longer a dick.
Stop it. No, that's not
I
a
like this. So
werewolf.
some of this I got from this. It's not a werewolf.
Not a
It
werewolf.
is not remotely a werewolf, but it is very funny. I particularly enjoyed. So like I got some of the details from like a self-published ebook synopsis. Like I said, it was really hard to find a written source that I didn't have to pay money for, basically. But I like the last sentence in that particular thing, which was thanks to the compassionate efforts of Lorraine and Ed Warren, today Bill lives a normal life, and the people of London no longer have to worry about Billy Ramsay, the local werewolf. Which
Oh my God.
is like, I feel like this author might be biased towards the Warrens
Think.
anyway.
I'm sure no one was worried about him in the first place.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently he did like hurt people. But like, you know, because he had a few like fits of rage, basically. He had very poor emotional dysregulation, just like me.
You a werewolf, Ruby?
I'm not, and unfortunately I do not get inhuman strength because maybe then I'd be more inclined to go to the gym, start working on getting swole. So yeah, so there are a few, there, like I said, there are like a few more cases that I could find a bit of detail on. There's a couple of girls who like accidentally summoned demons with Ouija boards and shit.
As you do, as
There
you
was
do.
one who she summoned the ghost of, what was the case? Hang on, sorry, I have to find it. There was one where basically they were like, she summoned the daughter of the family, summoned the ghost of a boy and fell in love with him, but then he turned out to be a demon. Because you know. Yeah, this is the Dunovan haunting, which I can find nothing else on other than this like one random article. Like, in the mid-70s, a teenage girl decided to use a Ouija board. She believed to be contacting the spirit of a boy who passed away. For a whole year, she talked to the boy using the board and gradually fell in love with him until horrible things started to happen to her family. The Warrens had to fight to keep this demonic entity at bay and prevent it to hurt the family further. Yeah, nonsense.
Okay, yeah. I don't think you need an exorcism, though. I think you need some therapy.
Yeah. Look,
Oh.
we all fell in love with ghosts when we were teenagers.
Did we?
I mean, maybe in our fan fiction. Yeah, like I think it's there's so many, with the exception of a few of the bigger ones, so like the Amityville, Perron family, this like the Snedeker House. Like the information is very thin on the ground for a lot of these cases, and even the ones where you think there is more, like the Enfield poltergeist, they just showed up at the fucking door and were like, "There's a demon here," and the family were like, "Who the hell are you? Go away."
Fucking weirdo Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that just really surprises me because Like, why isn't there more information? And like, obviously, thinking back now, the Conjuring series, despite Lorraine being an advisor to that film, all of that shit's made up. Like, that's hardly any of that. Well, not that it's true, because it probably isn't true. They were definitely fraudsters. But a lot of that is completely made up, and it's completely fabricated for the film. So, like, why isn't there more? A mystery that will never be solved.
Oh no, but I think that's the key of how they became so popular and why, how they kept their what little reputation they had was by withholding information. Because on this kind of stuff, the more information you give, the more easily holes can be picked in the stories. Because like you look at something like the Enfield House where, obviously, some of the kids came forward and was like, this is how we did it. But it was like, what was it? It was rapping, it was knocking, any of the physical phenomenon, the kids said that they saw, and the adults never saw any of it. So, like, it's easily explainable, particularly if you're a skeptic. I mean, yeah, if you want to be a little bit more open to the idea of stuff like that, you could go, okay, well, yeah, maybe. But, the more information that's there, the more detail that's there, the more easily you can go, this is what happened.
Yeah.
I
Okay.
think the Snedeker one as well is a good example of that, because you can kind of look at the situation the family was in and go, well,
Yeah.
if you lock
Definitely.
your children in a morgue basement without light bulbs, of course they're gonna freak the fuck out.
Yes, of course they're gonna have a break. Yeah. So anything else about the Warrens that you would like to touch on?
Aside from the fact that I'm still really sad their museum is closed, not really.
Yeah.
Like I am honestly still torn as to whether they were genuine, just cynical, like fraudsters, or whether they did believe to an extent and they were projecting that belief onto other things.
I don't know, because obviously we know, coming from Ireland, how extremist Catholics can be and how like they believe their own bullshit. Even though logically, when you look at it, you're like, come on, like the Catholic Church is one of the most like terrible organizations, like whatever, if you want to believe in your faith, but the Catholic Church is a terrible organization. Like it's, they're awful people. And so it's like, are they those kind of Catholics that are like, like just really extreme and really believe this absolute bullshit? Or were they those kind of Catholics that were like, let's make some money off this shit that we also know the Catholic Church is all about? So like, yeah, I don't know. I'm really on the fence about it as well. I do lean more towards fraudsters, but I don't know.
I think that the truth is probably somewhere in between. Like, if I was to make a completely, like, based in absolutely nothing assumption, like, I have no evidence for this, but it seems like to me that maybe they started off genuinely believing, and then they kind of went, okay, well, how can, they maybe did not find four cases a week that they were going to get money off of. So how do they turn that into a viable career path? A viable money making opportunity. Like, how are they actually gonna turn this into a way that they can keep going, and then also potentially further this their faith, like spread their faith to other people, which is obviously something else we know the Catholic Church likes to do. So that would be my suspicion, because I don't think you just randomly get into like something as extreme as demonology just to defraud people. I think there's easier routes.
There's easier routes to con people.
There's easier ways to become a snake oil salesman off the bat than to go straight in with demons. Like, demons is a hard sell. So I think they started off in a genuine, if misguided way, and then got more cynical as time went on. That'd be my suspicion.
Okay. Well, that's great. That was the Warrens.
That was the Warrens. Yeah, chunky. We have discussed a few of their cases in more detail. If you want to find out more about those, or feel free to Google if I just did a really, really bad job and you found more detail. Go for it. Send me a DM.
Okay. So thank you so much for listening. And where can people find you, Ruby, if they would like to?
People can find me at the Ruby Noir, where I can be bothered to have accounts.
You can find What a Scream at What underscore Scream on Twitter, at What a Scream on Instagram, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks.